There was one too many conversations about hip-hop being dead as a genre last year when we saw that there wasn't a lot of commercial records, and people were seriously worried about the future of the genre. But then hits 2024, and we're only one quarter in, and it's already been so fucking loaded with amazing projects, with amazing songs, and the genre is thriving more than it has this quarter than the last couple of years. I feel like the way that this year is projected to go, this could be the best year for hip-hop since 2018, and that's amazing for us because we love the genre. It's such a big passion for us, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the very best songs that we heard from the first quarter of the year.
Yes, we
will. That includes everything that came out from January to March. And if you guys want to get more of these episodes, top 10 list music recommendations, make sure to follow us on Spotify if you don't already, or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we're dropping these every single Tuesday. But listen, man, how do you feel about the start of the year as a whole?
I love it. I mean, listen, when we were coming into 2024, as you were saying, you and I were hoping for a big year. And I think a big year for 2024 is kind of an understatement at this point. The amount of albums that we've gotten, the big moments already for the first 3 months. Think about it. We're officially past the first quarter, and look at how much has already happened.
I have to ask you this. Do you think that 2024 has already been more eventful than 2023 as a whole?
Yeah, of course.
Low key.
Well, maybe not Utopia.
Besides the Utopia moment.
Besides Utopia.
But
even Pink Tape was a big moment for the community. For All the Dogs was a big moment. But I mean, the other two moments were kind of big letdowns. But I have to say this. Already with the records that we've gotten, I haven't been let down. That's one thing that I feel like is really underrated for this year, is that from the commercial releases that I ended up getting so far, example, like let's say a Vultures one, a We Don't Trust You, a Blue Lips, American Dream, they've hit for me. And what was interesting is that I put up a tweet, all right, yesterday saying what a start.
Yeah, I saw it went viral. Yeah.
It went viral, and the reception was so split on it.
Really?
The reception was split. People were like, oh, you snuck three of them in here. People were like, oh, Vulture should be the only one here. People were like, oh, Blue Lips, fuck that. That shouldn't be in this conversation.
Wow.
People were saying, oh, the 21 Savage record wasn't good. So it's interesting because, like, as much as I love this year personally, I do feel like the community split on a lot of different albums, and that's how I know it's a good year, is when there's a polarizing effect to it. So how do you feel like the community's reception has been up to this point, let's say, with the year? And do you think that it's the engaged you've ever seen it, let's say, since covering the genre?
Yeah, I think this is the most excited I've been about the genre literally since we started. I mean, we're going to have to definitely get more big moments and more big studio albums for it to be one of the best years in recent memory. It's still too early to say that, but we're on pace right now in terms of the way the community is reacting. I feel like everyone is so fucking hyped. I mean, I think that there is an issue with like how like packed in this first quarter has been, because that's going to lead to like consumer expectation of like, okay, I need a fucking big album this week and next week and the week after. Like, we have to sort of be happy with what we get. But as I'm saying, the pacing of it has been perfect, where it's like every 2-3 weeks at minimum, you're getting a major album or an album that's worth talking
about.
That's
what I was about to say, is that if you look back at previous years, an issue you and I had was like, you get to a Friday and it's stacked with five huge studio albums. You go to the next Friday and there's barely an EP dropping. But this year, it's been nice because every single 2 or 3 weeks, you get a moment, you get something to relish in. And example, even something like 2093, I really don't fuck with that album, but that was still a really cool moment for the community.
It was.
It had everyone in a frenzy. Everyone was talking about it. So shout out to Yeet as well. Like, that was a sick moment for 2024. But even looking forward now, it's kind of crazy because the release schedules have been just like, I think from now until like August, September, it's over. It's like, it's GG's in the chat. Not only that, but think about how many different rollouts have been activated. You have J. Cole, you know, with the Might Delete Later series. You have Baby Keem that's been teasing new music. Cardi's in a full rollout mode. You have Kanye West and Ty Dolla $ign that are still rolling out new music for the second and third installment. You have Metro Boomin coming back with a second album. You have now Logic dropping Ultra 85. You have Chance the Rapper with Starline Gallery. You have R&B projects coming out, like let's say PND4 and even Bryson Tiller self-titled. It's just, it is fully fucking stacked across the board, and I think it's a very exciting time to be a music fan.
It's very exciting just because I feel like when artists start to scope out the landscape and say, okay, this big guy is dropping and now this big dog is dropping, I want to be in the conversation. If this is going to be a year that is going to be a staple for hip hop, like a 1994 or a 2018, I want my name to be a part of the history books. And I feel like that's sort of the chain effect that we're starting to see, and that I think we're going to continue to see as the year moves on, is that people are going to want to be remembered in what could be the biggest year for hip hop of the 2020s decade. It could be.
It really could be.
It could fucking
but
be.
But you said that number four is that it's so important, right? 2014, 2004, 1994. It's true.
Yeah.
It's such a blessed number in hip hop. And like that leap year is always very important. But I was saying this also last year. You have to see how the decade starts to progress, right? Because you always have new talent that comes in, and you have talent from the other generation that's kind of still settling into a new sound. And what's interesting is that everyone's kind of playing on the same front as far as like music previewing goes. So for example, like you look at Playboi Carti and J. Cole, right? Two different artists on two completely different ends of the spectrum, two completely different fan bases, but they're kind of doing the same thing as far as rollouts go with previewing new music, dropping little Easter eggs here and there, keeping people wondering. So I like it that like now you see the artists that are starting to enter our community, and they're starting to play with, let's say, what they have with the kids, and you know, everyone's coming together as one.
But that being said, we're like almost halfway through the decade, and the majority of my rotation, I'm always doing my due diligence to check out new artists and to really be in the loop with what's going on. And I do have certain songs here that are from newer artists, but the majority of my rotation is still from established acts who established themselves maybe last decade. So that's like my only like little wince of concern, is that I do hope that we get new superstars in hip hop and new acts that really get to flourish. And sometimes it's not because of a lack of talent. Mm-hmm. It's because of a lack of marketability and a bunch of different things. But that's like the one thing that I feel like is missing as of now.
Well, since let's say the signings of like Lone and Ken Carson, for example, in 2021, or Fajel, was it 2021 or 2020?
Yeah, I don't think he's listening.
He's not even listening. Yeah. He probably has his headphones in. But I think that even like, but I think it's either 2020 or 2021 that Opium kind of formed together, and they made a whole thing with Homicide Gang as well. I want to see the way that collective continues to progress, because we were in Los Angeles and we were having the conversation, right? Like, how do these artists progress? How do they reach that top dog status that, let's say, a Playboi Carti has,
and
right?
Can they?
Absolutely. Right? That's another huge question. I think personally they can, just because of the type of lore that they have in the community. And if they play their cards right and they release fantastic music, you know, you're going to see a big push from them, let's say, coming in the next couple of years. So it's been interesting for those types of kids to come through as well. You also have people like Lucky, VZ, you know, you have all these artists that are coming through in the 2020s and that aren't making J. Cole level quality, but they're capturing the youth. They're trying to build up, let's say, their catalogs. And Lucky's been making music forever, since like the mid-2010s. But I feel like it's been in this decade that he's been dominant. But listen, enough of the conversation.
Absolutely.
Let's get into some songs that you and I have been really enjoying from the first quarter.
Any honorable mentions to kick things off? I'm going to mention some myself.
Yeah, go for it. I don't have any. I just have my song straight.
Thank God For Me is my favorite song of the year so far. But I've spoken about it on many occasions.
Okay, so you want to do that? You just want to talk about, let's say, some songs that were a joy that we didn't bring in today?
Yeah,
that, like,
pretty much.
Well, Thank God For Me for sure is one of them. Problematic.
Yes.
Off of Vultures. That's
Burn.
Another, absolutely, Burn as well. But Lou and I have talked like that off of the new Metro and Future album. These are pretty obvious statements, but I wanted to go maybe into some other songs off those albums that I've been really appreciating. So any other honorable mentions?
I had Gangsta, Anderson .Paak, Free Nationals, and Rocky. That was a big one for me.
That was a big one.
All of Me, 21 Savage is one of my favorites, but again, I feel like I spoke about it a lot. And then Cinderella off of the Future Metro. But there's so many bangers off of that Future and Metro. And I was having this conversation with Nick earlier today. Like, I think it's easily a top five Future project.
It
maybe is. Even top four.
It is. It really is.
I think it's better than Future self-titled as well.
Wow.
I do.
That's the statement?
I do. That's the statement, man.
That's the statement?
I was saying it in our pre-album stream. I said, listen, I don't know if it's going to be better than DS2, but maybe it could match up like that monster level quality.
It is for sure.
In terms of like bangers to duds ratio, there's more bangers on and We Don't Trust You. It's a more consistent track list than self-titled.
Ooh, bro, you have Mask Off, you have POA, you have
Don't
Draco.
Look at just the highs. Because We Don't
dope.
Trust You has
you have,
highs too.
You have Good Dope, you have I'm So Groovy, you have Feds Did a Sweep. Hey, calm right, down
this,
a bit.
This is a conversation for another
calm
video.
Calm down a bit, Lou.
This is another conversation.
That's a crazy conversation.
We can't get carried away again.
Hold on, wait. Is it better than Monster?
I don't know yet.
It's better than Monster.
It might be, bro.
It's a top three Future project.
It's crazy.
It's a top three Future project. But okay, let me start this off. Let's talk about The Quest by Mac Miller. That's going to be my first song of the day. And you and I were having the conversation actually before We did this audio episode, and you were like, I can understand why this didn't make watching movies, and I completely understand, you know, like, watching movies is such a tight and consistent track list, and there's an ongoing theme throughout all of it, and I do understand that he was probably cooking this up in the same time period, you know, that this was being released, yeah. And it was originally released on the vinyl LP version back in November of 2023, but it's nice to be able to see it make a comeback on DSPs. I absolutely love the production. It's that classic, playful, sort of somber production from Mac Miller himself. It's a self-produced Mac Miller song too, and it's pretty interesting because when you go into the narrative of the song itself, it's Mac Miller talking about how, you know, his infatuation with a woman and what he would do, and just, you know, the classic Mac Miller playful sort of stuff. And I really like that for the springtime. That's something that I really like, you know, from Mac Miller in these sort of moments. And the way that he actually starts off the second verse is really cool. Hate the lights, hate the camera right around in that panorama. Panamera, excuse me. Always a mouthful to say that Porsche car. Got ABCs, no Levi's. I'm walking around with that peace sign. I see you in there with your camera. So it's just, it's cool to see the way that he started off that second verse. Not only that, but the song also samples John Byron's Phone Call from the soundtrack of the 2004 movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, one of Mac Miller's favorite movies, apparently. So that's really cool. That's a little Easter egg within
it. That's interesting. So I wonder if that was part of the original recording back in 2013, because then, they end up working together. Five years later,
Swimming in Circles.
You know? So,
then after that, to continue on with the Genius annotation, they said years after recording the Quest, Miller collaborated with Brian on his album Swimming in Circles.
Interesting.
So that's a little cool Easter egg about the song. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it. I'm super happy I made DSPs. Beautiful song to play when it's sunny outside, and it's definitely going to be a mainstay in my rotation.
So the first one that I wanted to bring in that is more of an obvious pick, but I feel like I didn't speak much about it. It's going to be Backrooms by Playboi Carti featuring Travis Scott. Mm-hmm. Came out January 1st. It just made the cutoff, New Year's Day. And this is one of my favorite Carti songs to have dropped from this new era that he kicked off in late 2023. I think I do prefer Hood by Air in 2024, but those came out in 2023. Well, maybe not 2024. But I'm not sure about that one. But regardless, I spoke a lot about 2024.
Yeah,
so Backrooms, absolute slapper. It has the sinister trap beat. It's laced with these bells and with heavy bass, some banging 808s. And it feels like it belongs in like a slaughter scene in like a horror movie. Like that's sort of the type of sound that you get out
of
it.
Even like the quarterback hook is so sick too. The way that
throw that hole like a quarterback.
It's so sick.
That's the thing. You're getting like some funny ass lines like my grandma still play bingo and like, fuck all these bitches and bops, all these hoes a hat. Like, just the most wild and, like,
it reminds
unhinged
me a lot of Young Thug, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is where I started to really understand the Young Thug influence.
Yeah, you're seeing it a lot with this new era. But, yeah, I love that it's a short song, but he packs in all of these zany flows. I think it's also probably the most focused Carti song from this era in terms of, like, him projecting one tone and having, like, one form of energy consistently throughout it. Yeah. Vocally-wise, I also like what he does here because it's the deep voice, but it's like it's the Coors Light version of the deep voice. You know what I mean? It's not like totally pitched down. It finds like some middle ground.
But you see, okay, so I'm going to bring in Evil Jordan here. That's going to be my second song just because we're on the topic.
Yeah, bring it in.
So released January 15th, Instagram exclusive. And what's interesting is that like this is not the Coors Light of the dark, of like the dark, you know, mysterious and deep voice. This is like the cognac, you know, this is like the darkest like performance that you could get from Carti up to this point, at least in my opinion. And what's cool is that when you look at the actual song structure, it's one long verse. There's no hook to it as well. You get DJ Swamp Izzo on the track as well that adds little vocals here and there. Then after that, once you start getting into the song, it's interesting because I like the way that Carti is intentfully, let's say, portraying himself as Evil Jordan, sort of like this new character that he's bringing to the forefront. And I love world building. I love character building. And to be able to see Carti do that in like this trap lane is so weird because you don't get that from anyone else. So that's why I wanted to bring it in, is that like, is this the creation of a new character, let's say, within hip hop? And not only that, but the whole Evil Jordan joke within our friend group in Los Angeles.
Fucking classic, man.
So, you know, it was cool to be able to see that track drop. And it was produced by Cardo. Super dark production. I love the drums on it. And like you said, with Backrooms, it's like these are such focused tracks. And I love that from Cardi because I want to really see what he's doing up to this point. So shout out to Cardi.
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's going to be exciting to get the full album if it ever drops. But the next song that I want to talk about is going to be another one that dropped on New Year's Day. This is going to be the 30 Freestyle by Jid.
Shout out to Conductor Williams, man.
Man, in 2022, it's interesting, some history. Jid dropped the 29 Freestyle on YouTube where he's rapping like on this like, he's rapping offbeat on like the strange banjo-driven production, and that was a precursor to the Forever story. And now, a year later, you get the 30 Freestyle, a sequel to the 29, again, YouTube exclusive. And Jid said that he's starting off the year dropping music, and he's going to keep dropping music all year long. So this is probably going to be the precursor to his upcoming album, Forever in a Day, and maybe we get the Jid Metro album in the mix, too.
The Jid Metro album, we dirty.
Yeah. So
the Jid and Metro album would be fucking dirty.
We'll see how lucky we get. But yeah, I love the fact that he linked up with Conductor Williams for this one. Brings in a bass-heavy beat that actually pulls what sounds like some horns from like maybe a mariachi band. Very unique in their sound. Jid's rapping his ass off and giving you bars that sound like they were fleshed out off the dome, excuse me. And it really does sound like it's coming from a freestyle perspective. So I like the way he attacked the song. It's different than what he usually does.
Well. Absolutely.
Highlight bars like, drop a tape before the album. Most of you lost taste, but I'm sniffing like a hound for a scent of the lost greats.
There we go.
Another one. Raw uncut behind the scene. I'm all the things I say I mean, and all the things I mean I say. Respond to beef, s'il vous plaît.
There we go.
Bro,
shout
what?
Out to JID, yeah.
And I love the fact that like he actually said that he dropped this as practice, and that's something that Cole taught him, is that like to perfect your craft, you have to be continuously making music. It's up to you if you want to release it or not,
he's
but
next up,
you have to be in the booth and you have to be on
he
it.
He needs to drop this Jid and Med. Like, that's going to like take him to a completely different area.
Yeah.
But you see, stupid. Like, he's our next hope. You get what I'm trying to
he
say?
Is.
Like, for our community.
I think he is
do.
Viewed as, like, rap savior for the new generation, you know?
He's keeping that tradition alive.
Yeah.
But listen, talking about Dreamville, let's go on to J. Cole. Business is Business off of Mike Delete Later Volume 2.
Is that the official title, or is that a title that you just coined because we don't have one?
Well, this is what it says on
Genius. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what the snippet has been called around the community. So I guess this is not really official, but I guess we'll call it Business is Business. Produced by Mike Will Made It, brother. I just want to read this. Listen to this. Listen to the way he starts off this verse. I'm holding on tight to what it feel like to live a peaceful life. Since riding a bike, all that I ever knew was beef and strife. Going to sleep at night, praying that God releases the stress. Now I'm on a G4 jets across the seas to decompress. My recent checks, how much you think? Decent guess. Boom! Cole's coming in, bro. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. It is dangerous. Everyone's talking about this fucking Kendrick Lamar Like That feature. Brother,
I'm sorry.
If I speak, I'm in big trouble. If I speak, I'm in big fucking trouble, ladies and gentlemen.
Shout out Jose Mourinho. But
if I speak, I'm in big trouble, bro.
In all seriousness, though, I'm going to say this. And I might say this take again because it is a hot one and I feel like people might find it interesting. Given like what Kendrick has put out on Mr. Morale and let's say the features around that era, he's not on J. Cole's level right now.
They grew in
lyrically,
Igor.
He's not on J. Cole's fucking level right now.
Igor,
he's not.
Cole, who are you going to kill on your feature next? I don't know, Jermaine Cole. I'm not sure.
Anybody you want, really.
Anybody.
Your fucking pick. Put names in the hat of all the rappers in the game and just fucking pluck one out. It doesn't matter. But I want to say this.
Yeah.
Much love to the creative team at Dreamville because I absolutely love the visuals and them playing into the lore of him riding the bike because that was a big meme for years about
J.
Cole.
Dangerous.
But, bro, it's scary,
it's
bro.
It's scary.
It's like this guy's riding a bike and, like, he's sending out threats to the whole
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. He'll do it if he has to. Absolutely. He took a pull of his weed. He high as the trees where the eagles nest. I started chiefing less and less. It had my cerebral vex. Like,
crazy
what are
shit.
We doing here? This verse is nuts. Bro, I go back just for the verse.
Honestly, yeah.
I play this song every day.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, how could you not like be on a like on a type of mindset when listening to this type of hip-hop?
Even the first version from the first vlog is that song is
so
nuts,
sick.
Too. Both of them are incredible. Like,
so
I,
sick.
I really think we have a classic on our hands. I really do believe that.
All right, go on to your next one. What do you got?
Next up, let's change the tune a little bit. I'm going to come in with PTSD by Nems, which dropped February 22nd. 2024.
Solid project.
Really solid project. UK artist that I discovered not too long ago. So he just dropped his debut album called Do Not Disturb. And he's been going up, man. I think he's up to like 5 million monthly listeners. He has the co-sign from Drake. He's done features with the likes of Lil Yachty, ASAP Ferg, Heedy One. He's really making a name for himself.
You know what's crazy? Fajet put me onto Nems back in like 2021.
Yeah.
Fajet's been on Nems.
He's a sick artist, man. And I love the fact that he has a very creative spin on drill music, because his beat selection really that makes him distinct and makes him stand out from the rest of the pack when it comes to UK drill music. And this song's a perfect example, because he utilizes a Sade sample of her song Like a Tattoo, which is one of my favorite Sade songs, and he plays it throughout the entire track with this big drill bounce. So it's a very creative sort of sonic route that he took. And what I love is that, like, sure, it's a drill song and like the flows are drill-esque, but he's actually saying some shit. Like, he starts off the song literally by rapping, "No one checked on me when I needed." And like right off the bat, I'm like, okay, this is going to cut deep. It's going to be personal. He's going to deliver it with a lot of passion. And you do get a lot of emotions emitted throughout the tone of this. And yeah, bro, I love the hunger that he depicts throughout this. And again, just the different topics of him dealing with personal issues in his dating life, him not having to depend on anybody but himself.
Mm-hmm.
He just accomplishes so much in 2 minutes. So it's a compact banger that I feel like a lot of people in our community and our audience would really gravitate towards and get excited for new music that's to come, because this is his debut album. Like, he's really a fresh artist. So very excited to see what's to come.
All right, let me actually change the tune even more. Let's go to Boldy James and Nick Raven. I want to go to the intro track off of Penalty of Leadership, and this is going to be Formal Invite. Is this the best song off of the album, you think?
Ooh,
do you think Formal Invite is the best?
Let me run through that track list again.
Because I was between this, I was between Jack Frost. I was really looking at Jack Frost.
Jack Frost is a good one. What else do I really fuck with here?
But listen, the first
brand new Chanel kicks is another one.
That's a big one
as well. That's another one.
But you know what? I just want to say this. Shout out to Boldy James, because as much as like I've been following Boldy's career and you and I have been advocating for him on the podcast, it's interesting because he stayed consistent with his sound and he doesn't really break from that sort of sound or style of rapping, but he always makes it seem interesting every single time he attacks something new. And after Fair Exchange, No Robbery, when I found out that there was going to be a new collaboration project in the mix with Penalty of Leadership, my attention was automatically grabbed, because you go through this track list and, you know, you're going to find songs like a Formal Invite, like a Jack Frost, Evil Genius, even something like Murderous Tendencies that has a crazy dark vibe to it. But I love Formal Invite because I think it's my favorite sample flip on the entire project. And just out of respect for Nick Craven, I'm not going to sample snitch. I'm not going to do it.
You can't do it.
You know, if you guys want to do it on your own time. But shout out to Nick Craven.
It's accessible.
Maybe if you go into Who's Sound.
I feel like some of them are, but a lot of them aren't.
Oh, but it's just so lush, bro. It feels so luxurious to be able to go through the song, and you're just getting classic Boldy rapping on this. The way that he starts off his first verse, "How rich am I? Shh. I could still hear the air shocks from the trailer hitch on that semi, SRT on that Glico 33 in that Gen 5. Just great way to start off your verse, even going on to other bars. Like, for example, every pistol going to get brandished, these famished, since he keep making death wishes, every wish he going to get granted." Crazy, crazy, crazy bars from Boldy all the way throughout. I think it's arguably the best song on one of the best projects of the year so far. So shout out to Nick Craven. Shout out to Boldy James. Some of the best to ever do it within this lane itself. And Penalty of Leadership, an automatic lock in my top 10 albums of the year so far.
Well, speaking of Boldy James, I got a Boldy James feature. So this is going to be Live from the Roxy by Ransom featuring Boldy James.
You really like this song for the live album.
I love this song. It's one of my favorite of the year. It's in my top 10 for sure of the best songs to come out so far this year. Dropped in February 23rd. And yeah, just an all-star lineup. You got Ransom. You got Boldy James. Two top-tier spitters. You got a Harry Fraud beat. What more can you ask for? And they give you really intricate verses over this dramatic but soulful sample loop that I absolutely love. It's one of my favorite sample flips this year.
It's definitely the best song off that project.
It is, easily. Boldy keeps his monotone cadence throughout the verse, but you know, that's kind of like what you could expect at this point. But, you know, he makes up for it in the bars. And then Ransom truly has the standout performance to me on this song. Coming in with amazing setup rhymes, going from police cars swarming him while he's bumping Snoop and Big to him adding to his car collection. And just the fluidity of the writing is always on point throughout the entire track. And there's some gritty and authentic bars in Ransom's last verse that are some of the year's best. For example, "Now I'm the greatest, I say it. Never whisper or mumble. Stayed on the block when the stomach of my sister would rumble." And then some madness also ensues towards the end where he raps, "I'm like Van Gogh when his hands flow, but in a bando I'm like Rambo when he lands blows." And he keeps that O pattern going literally till the end of the song. If you're a fan of literally just like top tier raps and a classic good beat and engaging writing, this song checks every box in my book. The album was underwhelming. I think you were a bit harsh on it in the reaction, but
no, it's underwhelming, bro.
This song is serious.
The album's sleepy.
You have to admit this song is serious.
It's serious, serious song, but I mean, like, you have to go through the rest of the project as well.
It's not as bad as you made it out to be. It got trolled too hard.
No, I'm sorry, bro. Like, the cigars, whiskey, and lobster bars have to stop. At a certain point, they have to
stop. When certain other rappers do it, like, I'm it a gets cigar the pass, though.
But bro, like, when okay, who did it? Who's done?
No, I mean, like, for example, let's say a Rick Ross, who's always on that luxury talk. I'm not bothered by that. A Pusha T. A Pusha T on the coke
but
talk.
But it's always... It's,
I don't
it's
mind.
Always, yeah, but they have such a interesting cadence and such a great mic presence when...
So does Ransom. So does Ransom.
But it was monotone. Can't discredit that. But it was the same throughout close to the entire project.
On that project, somewhat.
No, it is. It absolutely is.
But anyways, let's not get carried away. What's your next rec?
Next one I want to go to is actually a Big Sean freestyle. And this dropped on March 20th. And it's produced by Boy Wonder, Jahan Sweet, and Leon Thomas. And this is Whole Time Freestyle. And this is one full verse from Big Sean. And it's basically addressing him and like where he's at within his career and his mindset. Also, you know, the way that he starts off his verse, I always talk about the way that they start off their verse. It's interesting. I think where I lack most as an artist is consistency. I just haven't had the energy to compete with enemies or y'all so-called big three. So when you start off your verse like that, I'm automatically engaged. I want to hear what you have to say and I want to get into it.
It's just good. It just got totally overshadowed though by Kendrick because it came out at the same time.
It just sucks because like that's kind of like the narrative with a lot of his albums is that as soon as he drops something, well... You have Kendrick Lamar or even like a Drake or J. Cole, that big three that come through and just kind of take over.
But I'm saying that line could have been a moment, but then like, again,
but
something much bigger was said, you know?
Absolutely. But, you know, Big Sean and Kendrick have talked about their feud and how it's all settled, their boys apparently, and like everything's good, you know? So it was just interesting to see the way that he came in over here and the way that he wanted to address all of that. And I just love it when Big Sean gets into that sort of zone, you know, where he's just talking to you and he's talking about how he feels and what his current stature is. And he's talking about how, you know, maybe in a lot of people's eyes, he wasn't as consistent as he could be, but talking about him having millions of fans, him being able to have so many different plaques and having a successful career. And that's what I like about Big Sean now is that he's okay with that, you know, like, and you should be okay with that because you've had such a successful career as an artist. Like, think about the heights that Big Sean has reached, you know, as an artist. Like, there's really only like 0.1% of people that could say that they've even done that. Even I think that's even like I don't even think that's reasonable. Like 0.00001% of people in this industry have touched what Big Sean has touched, if I'm being completely honest with you. So I love to see him on that type of time. It gets me excited for his new album. I'm going back to the freestyle all the time. And I like that rappers are okay with dropping freestyles now, or they're okay with dropping Lucy's, like giving us the material until we get there to not only like kind of lower expectations, let's say, or to kind of curb the hunger for the next album, but to give us more of a reality of like where they're at in their life and where they're at sonically. And I think it's much better than the single we just dropped.
Oh, it's much better than that single. That wasn't a good one to me. But yeah, super excited to see what Big Sean has in the tuck, especially in this climate now. But next up, let's change genres up, man. I'm going to go with Como Así by Kali Uchis. Dropped early on in the year, January 12, 2024. This is the intro off of her album, Orquídeas, I hope I pronounced that right, and the entire album is worth a listen, and another listen after that. Like, it's absolutely mesmerizing. I was listening to it at home, and like, it really sent me, man. It sent me to another place. Yeah. The song is colorful, but also very unpredictable. That's what I really liked, is that the pacing and the musical DNA is sort of all over the place, but flows so smoothly. Like, the production starts off with like a breezy, jazzy sort of groove that has this bass guitar rhythm, and then you suddenly move into like a fast-paced reggaeton beat, and you're like, how did we get here? I don't know, but it was so seamless. When it comes to her vocal performance on the song, it's stunning, it's unhinged. She hits her high notes perfectly and moves between different pitches with ease. And what I love the most about this, again, it's the fluidity of everything, the ability that the song is always changing, but you don't feel it changing. Like, for example, she's singing one line in English and the next line in Spanish and sort of does the back and forth
she's
between
both
languages. Bro, this album's incredible. Like, honestly, it might be better than the one she dropped last year, which I believe is called Red Moon and Venus. Just off of like first and second listen, really, really enjoying it. What's wild too is that like the song production wise goes into like hyper pop. So you're getting like three different genres woven into one. It's bright, it's seductive, but it also has like some deep subject matter when you really go into it, because it's about her partner betraying her and her examining the relationship. And it's easily one of her best songs that I've ever heard, and it's one of my favorites of the year. Guys, do yourselves the favor. If you want something unlike anything you've heard so far in 2024, this is the right place to start.
There we go. All right, let me bring it back to hip-hop. Let's go on to Blue Slides by Schoolboy Q, track number 4 on Blue Lips. Contender for Song of the Year, low-key, maybe. It's going to maybe
it
be
is.
My top 10.
It's
It's that and Thank God For Me, probably, that are carrying the album for me.
Thank God For Me is my favorite right now, but like when I make my top 10 list, maybe Blue Slides slides above it. I don't know.
You think so?
Maybe.
We'll have to see how it progresses.
Those are the top two, though.
It's so rare to see Schoolboy Q in this type of form or this type of zone, you know, and that's what I loved about, you know, Blue Lips, is that he really took time to craft this meticulously. And I was, I was just so in awe with the way that this album came out. And this was one of the first songs that I really gravitated towards. And, you know, the two verses that he lays down here are some of the most personal in his entire career, talking about, but sometimes you got to be a deadbeat when the kids got to eat, you know, that type of time from Schoolboy Q, explaining to you, you know, his passion, but also his pain and like, you know, how they kind of motivate each other and, you know, how he drives himself as a man. It's just so fucking cool to be able to witness this from Schoolboy Q this late into his career. Been a prisoner in my own house. I don't know if they noticed. I done broke down so many times. Next time, if it gonna catch me, I done helped so many people. They took me for granted. She's like, whoa, Q is laying down so much on you. And this is coming from one of my favorite artists that the genre has ever produced. So to be able to get this type of Schoolboy Q in 2024 is a blessing. The sample flip is beautiful. And just a little side note for anyone that's listening. People think that it's a tribute to Mac Miller, but he officially came out and said that no, it was not a tribute to Mac Miller, because I'm even reading the Genius annotation right now, and it says Blue Slides is officially released as the first song from Schoolboy Q's 6 studio album, Blue Lips. The song acts as a tribute to the deceased musician and Q's friend Mac Miller. It's not,
not
that.
True.
It's not true. Essentially, he tweeted out that it was not.
But
that.
I could see how it could be easily mistaken for that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, the title track as well, that, you know, tying back into the studio album.
I thought we were in for a Mac Miller feature. That was like a bit of a disappointment for me. It's not a big deal.
No,
but
I feel like it's tough, you know? It would have been a bit obvious.
Yeah, it would have been obvious. But let me ask you this before I go on to my next rec. Do you still have it above Oxymoron, like you were saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
It's above
okay.
Oxymoron. Writing-wise, it's much better than Oxymoron. Production-wise, it's just as
on
interesting.
Par. Yeah, just on par.
You know, I could say that there's more bangers, quote-unquote. What the fuck does more bangers even mean at, you know, in 20... I'm a different guy now than I was, let's say, when I was 13 or 14. I value music differently. You know, I don't, like, value an album on, like, how many times I'm going to replay a song in the car. Like, maybe I did with, let's say, like, a Man of the Year or, like, a Collard Greens, for example. Like,
no, but there's some lethal performances on Oxymoron.
For sure, like a Blind
like...
Threats, for example, or, like, even a Gangsta, you know, like, or... So, I don't know.
Anyways,
it's tight.
It's tight. Next up, since I was speaking about Kali Uchis, let's move on to Don Toliver. This is Deep in the Water. Came out March 14th, 2024, towards the end of the first quarter. And this whole rollout has been pretty exciting. I can't lie. Like, you had Bandit, where you had him experiment with, like, sort of the rock aesthetic. But I do prefer the signature Don Toliver sound. And this is what gives it to me.
It's a signature Don Toliver sound, but, like, the closest he's ever achieved to this level of, like, I feel like artistry for one song is probably on Life of a Don, low key.
You're saying in comparison to Bandit or Deep in the Water?
Deep in the Water.
Okay, yeah.
Because if you really think about it, you go through Lovesick and there weren't songs like
There's
this.
There's no songs like this. Spacey, it's melodic. It's
Nowhere
that psychedelic
near.
R&B bag that we love from Don Toliver. And I like the fact that like he's speaking directly to his lover, which is his girlfriend Kali Uchis, crooning about like the relationship, going the distance, and him being there for her during her pregnancy, and how he's willing to give up his vices to make her happy. Like, just very sentimental, and it's just it's a sweet love song, to be honest. And
it really is.
The sample choice is brilliant. It samples the song Better by Lea Sen, which kind of gets buried in the background, but in a good way. I like the way it's mixed in here. It's well produced, shiny synths, a calm groove, nice leading guitar, and just a great song for late night drives, a song to play anything around your girl, your guy, whatever it is. One of the safest songs on the aux to come out, I think, in 2024. So in terms of accessibility factor, I had to bring this in just because, again, I think it's a song that will please just about anybody.
It very much will. Yeah. But okay, let's speak about R&B a bit. And I was going to bring in another song, but I kind of wanted to replace it because this one I feel like deserves a bit more love. And that's going to be Karma by Sir and Isaiah Rashad. And when this dropped back in February, I was very pleased with it because you're getting Isaiah Rashad in like his house of burn, like the house is burning.
You are.
Sort of mode where it's a slurred out delivery. Sometimes you might have a bit of trouble making out what he's saying, but overall, it's one of the best songs as far as like this recent month goes, if I'm being honest with you. I absolutely love it. I believe it's produced by Sigurd, if I'm not mistaken, who also did Pressure off of Little Sims' album. And also, I believe, did Guess Who from Little Sims as well, which is really cool. And God Bless Mary, I didn't know that. Wow, a lot of credits with Little Sims, actually, overall. But it's pretty cool because, you know, you get them both in like their sort of like suave sort of mode, them sort of like serenading their woman, you know, Isaiah Rashad asking his girl if she wants to have sexual intercourse in her car, you know. So it's always interesting content matter. And like you said, it's maybe one of those vibes that you might want to play around your mans or your woman, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, just enjoy it. Enjoy it for what it is. It's definitely one of the best R&B cuts of the year.
Absolutely, man. But yeah, what a stacked first quarter it's been for 2024. And let me ask you this, like, what do you think is going to be truly the hottest quarter of the year? Is it going to be Q2 or Q3 or Q1?
I think Q3.
Really? Yeah, fall time?
Well, no, Q3. No.
Q3 is going to begin.
June,
you're right.
July.
Okay, so like end of summer going into fall. Okay.
Deep in the summer.
Deep in the summer. Yeah,
July,
yeah, you're right.
August, September.
Yeah, deep in the summer. Okay.
Those are usually
I think Q2 low-key.
You think Q2?
I think Q2 low-key.
Even Q4 could be a sleep. Q4 is always the sleeper quarter
for everything. Q4 could be, yeah.
Because you have everyone that... Because you have the artists that are waiting for everyone to drop, and then boom, they want to make the statement going into next year. And you always have records that bleed in from one year to the next. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to this audio experience from NFR Podcast. We really appreciate you guys. And Lou said we're doing more rankings just like this, more recommendations, top 10 lists, and it's going to be a busy year for 2024. So if you guys are not familiar with our release schedule, we're releasing new episodes every single Tuesday. So hit that follow button and leave us a nice review if you guys want. You know, we really appreciate it. So thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll catch you in the next one. Peace.